I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. There's a new documentary that tells the story of how the music scene in Toronto, predominantly in the genres of Caribbean, Jamaican, and reggae, took off in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Play It Loud, How Toronto Got Soul. Joining me now is the legendary Jay Douglas, the lead singer of the Cougars. He's the subject of the film, and through his story brings us into this era. Whether it's the vibrant clubs on Yonge Street in Toronto or finding audiences as they toured small towns through northern Ontario and Quebec, we see what it's like for Jamaican-born artists like Douglas, born Clive Pinnock, and other performers of his era, Jackie Mattou, Leroy Sibbles, and Wayne McGee, among others. So even though they all developed a following, the lack of label support and airplay prevented performers like Douglas to make it bigger. The film also narrates the reality of a lot of Canadian artists who seem to get more appreciation outside of the country. As we see in the film, nearly 20 years ago, Seattle label Light in the Attic put out a compilation album that shone a light on the Jamaican music scene with the release of Jamaica to Toronto Soul, Funk, and Reggae 1967-1974. Another shining moment that's recounted in the film is Caribana 67, a remarkable event in Toronto during Canada's centenary, which seems a flashpoint in the music scene in Toronto. I talked to Jay last week, and we talked about this film, his own life story, which is not uncommon for a lot of Canadians. Jay was born and grew up in Montego Bay, and he joined his mother, who came to Canada to work when he was a child. You'll hear in the interview Jay talk about his mother and what his upbringing was like. The film opens Friday, the 7th of February, at the VIF Center with Jay in attendance. The film will have a run there through next week, and then will begin airing across British Columbia on the Knowledge Network February 27th. The film is funded by TVO, among others, so I'm sure it'll play there as well. The film is directed by Graham Matheson and produced by Andrew Munger. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Jay Douglas. Mr. Douglas, good morning.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It's great for us to be alive.
Isn't it? And the thing that strikes me, Jay, as I was watching the film, is your voice, how you've managed to keep that. It doesn't sound the same as it did, say, 50 years ago or so, or 60 years ago, but it has a certain, you've cared for it so well, and I'm wondering, what have you done, not just with the voice, but with yourself physically, to keep going as you have?
Okay, for example, you asked me how I'm doing, and I said, well, I'm great. It's a good day for us to be alive. It is, for all of us, to be alive. Next, just live in truth. Live in truth. Jay Douglas is who I am. I don't believe in ego. I don't believe in putting politics in the music, because it's... But the music is for all of us. And I appreciate it. I am blessed to be in... or to be blessed with this talent. Music, so I respect it. I take care of my health. I walk, exercise, and try to keep a good diet, and never sing in bad keys or abuse my voice.
Yeah.
And that's why my voice, the way it sounds, and thank you for the compliment.
There's a great story in the film about you performing at church as a child, and you're asked to sing a song. And you do, and while the elders think that you've turned something spiritual into something secular, the young people in the church just loved it. I guess from an early age, this sound that you have, this talent that you have, I mean, it was there early on, wasn't it?
Yeah, the way I say it, even in the movie, I think I was conceived in music. I think so. You know, those early days in Jamaica, music was a part of the school curriculum. From the early years, we start singing in school and Sunday school, as kids in the church, and it stays with us.
There's another lovely moment in the movie, Jay, where your brother talks about you being
Ian.
Yeah, talks about you being a father figure to him and your siblings. He thanks you for that, and he says in the movie that he doesn't get to tell you that very often, and he's quite moved, and you're sitting next to him, and you're quite moved hearing this. I mean, what is it like for you as a sibling to hear that?
It's very deep, and it's one of the highest compliments that's been given to me, because I came to Canada before my brother. I came to my mom about 1964, and then, you know, I went to school at Central Tech in Toronto, and no sooner or later, when I became a lead singer with the Cougars, I was off on the road, Quebec and other places with the Cougars, and then my brother came just before I started to tour, and then we didn't get to spend a lot of quality time as we'd like to, because the music had me going. And not only that, too, I left Jamaica as a young man, and when I left, he was a young kid. So, there was some moments there that was missing, and I can understand what he's saying. But while I was away at traveling, I always stayed connected to my sisters and my brother Ian, and I had to help my mom, because there was no father around. You know, my uncle, my mother's brothers, they were here, police officers and everything. So, yes, it's very touching, very touching.
I also found quite moving, Jay, the story of your mother. You know, she came to Canada before you did, as you just said. You know, that's a Canadian experience for a lot of people in this country, that you know, they get reunited with a parent when they come to this country. I can't help but think that that's one of the themes in the film that will resonate with a lot of viewers across this country.
That's right. And another thing that's really deep to think of, most of these ladies who came in that program many years ago, they had to leave their kids. They had to keep it down. They didn't want anyone to know they are leaving kids behind, because they would have blown their opportunity. So what happened when these mothers got settled and were able to send for their kids or other relatives? The most touching part is when the kids like us came.
Yeah.
So much was missing, that early childhood bond. And it is very, when you look back at it, there was so much missing. But with the guidance of God and our grandparents back home holding the fort until we could join our mother and our father here, but there are some stuff that's missing.
Yeah, the love and support of your mother, that comes through in the film. There's a beautiful scene that's recreated in the film that once you come to Canada, she gives you a guitar.
Yes.
It's beautiful to see that in the film.
And I still have that guitar.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I played it. I wish I could have played it like George Best. Well, sometimes I would use it to arrange some of my songs, but I still have it, and she had it waiting for me, and she oh, God bless Noreen, she taught me so well. You know, she taught me the value of knowledge and education, and just a wonderful lady. But, you know, the good thing about it, I must say, she helped me to respect a proper diet. She didn't compromise, but she did not compromise her values when it comes to eating properly.
There's, as I mentioned, the scene is recreated in the film, so there are actors that play her, and there's an actor that plays you as a young man. Did you work with him at all as to how to play you?
Graham, the director, did.
I see.
He's an amazing, Graham Matheson, the director. Also, Anju Munger, the producer. But Graham, unbelievable. He put in so much work. Almost 3 years it took us.
Wow.
He put in a lot of work. Sometimes we'd butt head on the set, but he knew what he wanted, and oh my goodness, I can't say enough about this young director, you know. Also, the producer, Andrew, and the crew, the supporting cast was amazing, you know. And I must say this to you, because I believe in living truth. When Andrew called me about doing a documentary 3 years ago, no kidding, I was happy to hear this gentleman. But I had to ask this question. My first question was, so if we do this documentary, how is the young people going to benefit from it? What's in it for them? That was my first question.
Wow.
I had to ask.
Yeah.
And he didn't really give me a proper answer until we went to Jamaica in the second year to do some filming out there, Montego Bay, where I came from.
Yeah.
And where I attended church as a young kid and kindergarten, I remember saying. And one day on the set at my kindergarten school, where I went to in those early years, these kids were all over us.
Yeah.
In the middle of the shooting. And I remember one little boy came, he wanted money to go buy ice cream. And he was all over. It was interesting that day. And in the evening, we went to supper, and Andrew, the producer, said, do you remember when you asked me what's in it for the kids? I didn't give you a good answer, but after today's experience, we share your sentiment, Mr. Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means a lot. It's a lot for the young people. Because, you know, they're the gem of the future.
Mm.
You know, and I can't help but keep thanking my mom, Noreen. She taught us well.
The film, you know, also recreates, you know, your time when you joined the Cougars. How old were you, by the way, when that all happened?
A teen. When I joined the Cougars, I was about, 16? Yeah. 16 going 17.
So, what's it like to see, you know, this actor play you and perform and the young street that we see in the film? You know, I'm 42. And you know, I haven't really traveled through Toronto very much, but I got nostalgic seeing, you know, all these nightclubs and you know, what a great time it was to be there as an artist.
Oh, man. Oh. Unbelievable. It's unforgettable, brother.
Yeah.
Because there was live entertainment all over. All over. We were, and being in the Cougars, it took us took us some time to penetrate the Yonge Street scene. Because you had to be at your very best to play the Lecoq Tour, the Blue Note, Zanzibar. And don't forget, let's not forget, Little Stevie Wonder, the Supremes, Commodore, all those artists, they had to come to Toronto. You know, our Canada, mostly Toronto, to really get tight and get the experience. And way before they became famous in the United States. So we had to penetrate that environment, or that scene, as a local band. And we had to go to Lecoq Tour. Just one, you know, and ask them one Saturday afternoon, please, while you're on a break, can we do a set?
Mm-hmm.
They said yes, and the rest. From there, we opened the doors for other local bands. Because you had Solomon Burke, you know, Little Charles the Sidewinders, all these cats coming. In those days in Yonge Street or in Toronto, we had to work six nights a week for little or nothing. Monday to Saturday afternoon matinee.
Yeah, yeah.
But we wanted to do it. But we were weren't, we were doing it because we love it, and we were very honest with the music. We weren't thinking documentary 2030. No. We just want to play the music and have fun and make people happy.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the film where Pablo Paul says that you guys might have had greater success had you had a shot in the United States. What was it that was keeping you out of the United States?
It's a good question. In the movie, I spoke about a gentleman whose name is Rick Sands. He's the one who took me out of the Cougars and made me Jay Douglas.
Uh-huh.
And after he was one of the top booking agents in Toronto. And because he used to book Gino Vannelli, all them cats. You know, he wouldn't touch you if you're not saying something. And he encouraged me, and then he moved to the States. He said he didn't want to stay in Canada anymore. He had a great vision. And so he went to the States, and he ended up managing Gladys Knight and the Pips for a while. Because he introduced me to Gladys. And he told me, he says, look, while I'm out here in L.A., I'm not promising you the world, but he says, you know, come on out with your lady and let's see what, you know, we can do for you. And that was so nice of him. But then I thought about it carefully. No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I was ready because, one thing, I checked out, I did some homework, and there were certain elements I was not prepared to identify with if I go out there. And I don't, on top of that, I wasn't too sure if I was ready because there's an old saying, will New York accept it? Will Chicago accept it? Will L.A. accept it?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't ready, but then each day as I grow older, if I had to do it again, maybe I would take up the opportunity and do it. But who knows?
Yeah.
If I'd gone there, who knows? Maybe you would not be talking to me like this today.
You know, I found the part of the film where, you know, you get to 2006 or just before 2006, and then there's this rediscovery through Matt Sullivan's Light in the Attic label in Seattle.
That's right.
This part of the film I found fascinating that, you know, this is a Canadian reality for a lot of artists, not just artists even, people in the sciences or other fields, there's an appreciation that they get in the United States or the United Kingdom that they don't seem to get in Canada. Do you feel that you were overlooked in this country?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say 100% because one of our challenges, we did not have good management. That's another thing, too. A lot of good things about the business is not being cultivated here properly. We take a lot for granted here. Too much. Even today, you look around, we take a lot for granted. Beautiful, rich country like this, on top natural resources. Oh, man. For example, look at Pablo Paul, the drummer. Those days in Cougars, he had the most of all of us. He could have been much farther and bigger because he was a very talented drummer. Can you believe it? We're talking right now. That man helped create hip-hop music.
Mm.
You saw it in the movie. He didn't even know he was creating hip-hop with the track Dirty Funk. Go listen to it. When that album was released, Light in the Attic, Jamaica to Toronto, when they heard the kind of music, the Cougars, I Wish It Would Rain All Night, some of the media people, they were shocked.
Yeah.
They said they didn't know that kind of soul was coming from the North Country. No kidding. Can you believe it? And when Jamaica, Wayne McGee, the guy who started all that I found for them, that album, Wayne McGee and the Sounds of Joy, most of those albums caught fire in the studio in Toronto. A few got out, and a couple end up on the West Coast. That's how the Jamaica to Toronto project came about, because we had those hip-hop kids out there in Seattle, they wanted to sample it. They wanted to, and so I had to help them find Wayne McGee. And look what it did for Canada and the music.
Yeah.
Not just for everybody, like the Attic, because there wasn't really anything going on. What's so hard to fathom, all that resources was lying there dormant because lack of vision on our part here. But nothing happens before the time, and we're very happy that Lightning Attic from Seattle, they're such nice, good young men. They had no ego, but they had vision. And now, one of the biggest selling album of all time for Lightning Attic is the Jamaica to Toronto. That was their first project.
Wow.
We didn't know it.
Yeah.
I went to London, England, HMV many years ago. I said, I'm Jay Douglas from Lightning Attic. Oh, come on in. They welcomed me. They gave me so much discount.
Yeah.
And they told me, he says, you go back to Canada and tell the folks in Canada how lucky they are to have that release party at Harborfront when they had the release party. Tell them how lucky they are. If we had it here in England, we would put it in Wembley Stadium. It's not in the documentary, but that's what they told me. They said they would put it, the album release, in Wembley. You know Wembley Stadium, that big soccer stadium.
Yeah.
And they were serious.
Yeah.
That tells them how much we have taken, so much we have here. One of the richest countries in the world. Natural resources on top. One of the greatest countries for you to live, Canada. And just stop and think how much we've taken so much of what we have here for granted till this minute.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound so heavy, but it's the truth.
Yeah, no, it is the truth, yeah.
I love this country. Love it.
You know, you talked early in the film about understanding the idea of meant to be, you know, the role that fate has in our lives. And you know, you also talk in the film about challenges, you know, bad things that you experienced touring in this country. And you know, you're candid in the film about the racism you encountered, as well as, you know, the lack of airplay on Canadian airwaves, not getting signed, and you know, the stuff you just said a moment ago. How do you, Jay, at this point, not be bitter about everything?
No, not. I won't be, because if I were to get bitter about it, it's going to throw off my health. No, it's not the thing. When I look at it, look back, those were challenges. What's so bad when we... Life is a journey. You got bumpy road, ragged road, potholes. But that's not going to stop us from reaching our destination. And, hey, you get a flat tire while you're driving, get it unchanged and put on another tire and continue. So, no, what happened, my mom, Noreen, and my grandparents, they all taught me well. And we have to take a lemon and turn it into a lemonade. There's nothing wrong with having challenges, but we have to be equipped to cope and have answers, and have vision, and, you know, look at Bob Marley. Look what he's been through with the Wailers. They went through hell, because I met them.
Yeah.
They went, look, and look what's happening now. Look. Yeah. Listen to their words. Look at John Lennon's words from Imagine. And, you know, it's truth. No, you know, who said it was easy, but it wasn't worse. I'm very happy that I can, and the others can share this and move forward. No, I'm not bitter, because I was raised to rise above those kind of negative vibes. You know, negativity stands in the way of growth and progress.
That's a wonderful lesson for all of us, especially the young people who see this film.
Oh,
you know,
they're the gem of the future.
Yeah.
And with my band in Toronto, I'm so blessed. I got a lot of young players from the institution, York University, Humber College. Oh, man. We have some of the best players of music all over the world. A lot of good players come out of Vancouver, man.
Yeah.
A lot of good players, especially in the jazz scene. This is a great country. Look at all the female artists, you know, and that's coming out of Canada. Celine, all of them. Look at, you know, I mean, Leonard Cohen. One of my biggest recording is Hallelujah. You know, check it out on YouTube.
You know, one of my favorites that I've been listening to now over the last week since I finished the film that I found of yours is Moon River. And I can't tell you how much I enjoy that. It's a beautiful song, obviously. But
produced by my producer, record producer, Eddie Bullen. He's another one.
Yeah.
Great producer, man.
Your voice is so rich in that single.
Thank you.
And it's a quiet song, and yet you bring such depth to it, as well as, you know, you hit some high notes in it that
thank you, because two producers worked on that song. Dr. Michael Arthur played sax, and he died last year. Man, I'm still trying to get over his death. This man studied with the Marcellus Brothers in the States and got his doctorate. Michael Arthur.
Uh-huh.
And he died last year at the age of 59.
Wow.
And Eddie Bullen is too with us. And you know what? You're so right on. You know quite a bit about the music. I think you play music, don't you, brother?
No, I don't. I don't at all. But
you
I listen badly in the shower. I love, you know, I grew up listening to Sinatra as a kid.
Oh.
And so, you know, as I've been growing up and discovering new music especially, and then making these connections, like, you know, I listened to you know, your stuff, you know, the Jamaica to Toronto album, and then I hear, you know, the range that you have when you do Moon River.
Thank you.
It's just wonderful to listen to, and I'm, you know, you've become a favorite on my phone.
Thank you. I wish there you go again. Well, had not been for social media, I don't know what we would do, but couldn't get much airplay for Moon River around Toronto. The jazz station played it a few times, but this is one of the big challenges we have. Challenge we're having is not able to get proper distribution and airplay for a lot of the local artists here. You know, just not able to get that much, but that too will change. You know, that too shall pass.
And I think after people see this film, as they will, you know, across this country.
I think,
as you say in the film, you know, I think Pablo Paul says it in the film, that this movie is for you, and that you know you'll be able to keep going, and not just you, but a lot of other people too.
Yes, we will, and we're starting to get some good feedback. I'm really looking forward to coming to Vancouver. I do hope I get to meet you.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah.
Yes. Are you going to be able to come and see it?
I'm not sure about the date, but you know, the next time you're in town, you know, playing a gig, I'll be there.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I can't tell you, Jay, how what a pleasure it's been to talk to you, and you know, long may it continue, and you're an inspiration to everybody, and I hope it goes as long as you want it to go on.
Thank you so much, and we give thanks every time, and, you know, as I said, life is a journey, and everything is good, brother, you know, and you know, I wish you the very best, you know, and I think it's time for you to stop singing in the shower and come out and sing in the living room. Come and sing in the living room with all of us, my brother.
The film is called Play It Loud, How Toronto Got Soul. It's at the VIF Center starting Friday, the 7th of February, running through to next week, and then it'll start airing on the Knowledge Network February 27th. The great Jay Douglas joined me on the line from Toronto and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.